Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that you instill in us the knowledge of thy word. Give us the faith needed to better our lives and those of our loved ones. Now go with us as we read thy word as it is recorded in Scripture. Amen. The first reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verses 1 through 12. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The second reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. This is the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went out at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This has been the word of the Lord.
Let me begin by saying I do not preach stewardship sermons. And I don't preach stewardship sermons precisely because I don't think they are very helpful. There's no need in trying to guilt people in giving money to the church, right? That's not a good thing to do. However, here's the problem. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about one other subject in the Gospels. So today's lectionary reading happens to be the lectionary reading about the talents. Now, let me also just ask a question. In fact, let me ask this, and this is audience response, something rarely done in church. How many of you know what a talent, as is talked about in this parable, what a talent is? Anybody? Okay, you do. Mitch, you do. Okay, one person. All right, I'm going to tell you what a talent is, and we know this from Matthew 25. A talent is a weight of gold. And one talent equaled roughly 20 years of day laborer wages, which if you calculated it, because I have friends who are smarter than I, who actually this morning went on the gold exchange and calculated out if a person had one talent in today's income, it would be 1.4 and some change million dollars. Now that's 20 years of earning, which if you divide this out, because I actually did this, you noticed in the children's sermon, I'm not that good at math, but I actually calculated it out myself. That is roughly 20 years at what the minimum wage is today. So if somebody had one talent, they had $1.4 million. If, on the other hand, they had five talents, they had roughly $6 million. So that gives you a context to what this story that Jesus is telling is saying. How many of you learned something in church today? Amazing. All right. Okay. Years ago, I read a story that I still remember, and I can't remember if I read it in high school or in college. I believe it was in college. I do remember it's by a Russian author, and I believe it was Tolstoy, although I would be willing to be relieved of that. And the story was entitled, How Much Land Does a Man Really Need? Any of you by chance read the story? It's actually one of the few I remember from my education, so it must have really pricked something in my mind. Well, here's the story in brief. The ruler of the country said to a man who was known to be somewhat greedy that he could have as much land as he could run across in one day. And he would start at sunrise and he would end at sunset. So the man saw this to be his great opportunity in life. And at sunset, he began running with all of his might. By noon, he was a little weaker, but he was so obsessed with getting as much land as he could possibly get, he kept running. Afternoon came, short break, take in some fluid, run some more. And just as the sun was coming down, the man who had claimed all of this land fell dead. So Tolstoy, if that is who it was, I hope it is. If not, he's, huh? It is. All right. It is Tolstoy. All right. Tolstoy ends the short story by saying, how much land does a man really need? And the answer to the question is, he needs land that is 6 feet long and 6 feet deep. Now that's a powerful story, isn't it? And it reminds me of this story of the talents. And it reminds us of us as Americans. For many Americans, and for those of us who are religious, as well as those who are not, too much of everything is simply not enough. We tend to want and think that we always need more. Now, that in a way would be the first thing that I really want to say. In the U.S., we have a huge amount of confusion about what we want and what we need. I'll give you an example. You're going to see something else you may not have ever seen in church. The preacher's taking his shoe off. This is called a mule. What's actually happened is I've started having arthritic spurs on my feet. And so this is a comfortable, easy-maintained shoe. And I had a brown one like it, and it really did well. So I bought a black one this week. And I could say in some ways that I probably needed, it's an orthopedic shoe, I needed something like that. But you know what I did? I needed it so bad, I bought two pairs. Now, did I need two pair? No, the brown one has life in it. But now I have a new brown one, and I have a new black one. We Americans really get confused about what we want and what we need. The other thing was, I got such a good bargain on them that I had to buy two pair. It would have been uncivilized not to do that. Well, consumerism has become more than just a great marketing strategy. Consumerism has become an acceptable spiritual force among us. It's a philosophical choice that literally shapes and focuses our living. Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar who's United Church of Christ, has suggested as we Americans grow more and more wealthy, money becomes something of a narcotic to us. Just like the poor guy in Tolstoy's short story, the land became his narcotic. We forget to notice our own prosperity because there is always something more that we really want or is it something we really need? We fail to notice oftentimes the poverty of others simply because we're too busy noticing the other folks that we may be trying to keep up with, either keep up with consciously or unconsciously. I recall a great line from Postcards from the Edge, instant gratification is simply not fast enough for me. And you only have to stand or you only have to be in a car in a McDonald's line and you know exactly what that quote means. As long as we find ourselves in a state of wanting rather than in a state of abundance, nothing will ever be enough. Peace, security, plenty will arrive at our doorsteps or it will arrive in our hearts after the next purchase. Did you hear what I said to the kids by chance? That even what I learned, Switch Nintendo, isn't going to ultimately make us happy. That was a line that was said on purpose because they're learning, our kids are learning, the same thing that we've learned, if I only had that, then I would really be happy. You know those people that knock on your door and they say, hey, you've just won $1 million? You know what actually happens to those people after they win that $1 million? Down the tubes they go. In other words, because we are consumer-driven people, we tend to equate monetary fulfillment with spiritual fulfillment. Now, at first glance, our gospel reading kind of would focus you in that same direction, wouldn't it? If you have a lot, double it, and you'll be rewarded. If you don't do something productive with your money and all you do is hoard it, you'll be cast out. Not only will you be called terrible names on the way out, but where you are going, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, it's normal in a way to find ourselves in this story. For example, some of us naturally ask the question, am I the five-talent guy or I'm the one-talent guy? Although I will say, once we know what a talent really is, then suddenly we are less likely to do that. I would say for myself, I'm some way around about a 20% talent, one talent guy. Before the economy went bust and everything was booming, many of us learned that multiplying money could be fun until it wasn't. But some of us might have also discovered ourselves hoarding and holding and handling money or our decisions with fear and trembling. And some of us have those moments when we feel worthless or devoid of strength and initiative, no matter how amazing our individual gifts really are. We could even say that about our congregation. In the 108 years of our life, coming up on 109, this has been a congregation that has at times waxed and at times waned, just like we have done in our personal lives. We've created more space for education for children. We've had less children. We have revived children's ministry here. And we feel ourselves feeling a sense of relief that a part of that at least, although not in numbers, but a part of that at least, is more what it used to be. And so now we have to ask the question, what is it that we shall do? Are we going to be people who hold on to the talents that we have? And now I am talking in a more generic sense. Are we going to hold the talents that we have from our family? Many mothers and fathers do that exact thing. Some do it simply because of illness and they can't help it. Others do it because of selfishness and they don't even see it. Are we going to withhold the talents that we have from our family or from our church? Some people absolutely say, I do not want to get involved. Or I've heard people say over the years, I served my time, now it's somebody else's time. Let me tell you something. Until we are declared saints in the life everlasting, and we have been transported to the church triumphant, our time is always now. Always now. We don't outlive or outgrow our service. Or some people withhold their talents and gifts from their community. The community desperately needs a wise, even voice. And people who could do that, once again, simply do not get involved. But I'm going to do a complete sermon here in one more minute. People also do the other thing. Have you ever known people in the family, in the church, in the community, who constantly get involved in things that are not their issue. Okay? Withholding or over-engaging, both of those tend to be not good ideas. But coming in and asking the question, with God's wisdom, where can I be of service? And where can I use my talent is something that all of us need to be asking. So, how much is too much? The answer is simple. I hope the asking and the giving will never end. For we are a part of the vision to build up the kingdom of God in Long Beach at East 2nd Street and beyond. We want to create a whole and caring community for people who are just passing by for a little while, or people who have stayed here and will stay here for a lifetime. And one day their urn or their casket will be here, and we sing for all the saints who from their labors rest. We believe in new life and a different world that clamors around us. Remember that Jesus never insulted us by asking for too little. Only remember the stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus never insults us by asking for too little. Jesus gave of himself to enrich the lives of others. He gave us wisdom and sayings and stories that pointed to that divine wisdom. He gave from the abundance of his life so that we might seek the same abundance throughout our lives. So today, throughout the new church year, we seek abundance both in our living and in our generosity. There were three people. One had one talent. One had two. One had five. How much you have in the issue? What you do with it wisely is absolutely the issue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.